Hey, everybody, it is Tim Gillette, and we're back here with another episode of the Tim Gillette Show. So I'm Tim Gillette, your host, and this show is just not about me. Just because my name's Tim Gillette doesn't mean the show's about me. No, it's about the people who I share with you about. Today's guest is going to be Ross Brand, but before I bring Ross up, all right, remind you, go over and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. You can go to timgilletteshow.com, and that takes you directly to our iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever it's called nowadays, and you can subscribe and catch this when it actually gets broadcast out live. The other thing is our other sponsor that we have is Simple Easy Marketing. Of course, you know, Simple Easy Marketing is my business, and we host an event every month called Simple Easy Events, a virtual event where our guest has actually spoken at many a times because he's one of the top people in blogs, videos, all right, and online marketing. That's why we have him back on a regular basis. But today, it's the first time in my years of knowing Ross Brand that I get to actually interview him on my podcast. All right. I think when we were on Blab, we might have done something with each other's shows. But like now that we've both gone into live stream space in different areas, I got to say, this is a first of us being on each other's shows. We just have not been on our official shows. We've been on an awful lot of things together, an awful lot of things that we've done throughout the years. All right. And he's a good guy. All right. He's someone who I always look up to because he's very wisdom oriented about StreamYard, which I use to broadcast this. So let's find out today about Ross Brand. Hey, Ross.
Hey, Tim. Thanks so much for having me on the show. I was getting nervous because I thought I had to do a presentation because every time we see each other, I'm either speaking at one of your conferences or we're speaking at somebody else's conference. So it was like really nice to just go, okay, it's just going to be a conversation, just a talk show. I don't need slides. I don't need a topic or anything else. I'm just going to get on and chat with my friend Tim. So it's great to be here, and thanks so much. I'm glad we were able to do this.
It is, man. I mean, and it's you know, we go back, you know what I mean? I remember you on Blab and all the things we did on Blab together. But man, has our world changed since Blab?
Yeah. I mean, when we were doing Blab, everybody thought, what is this thing? They didn't even know what Blab was, what live streaming or live video. You'd sometimes say, well, you've heard of Periscope? And they'd go, maybe. I think I've heard of it. You go, you heard of podcasting? Oh, yeah. Imagine video and live. Oh, okay. Sort of like TV, but on the internet, but live. Kind of like talk radio with webcams. I don't know. Just come into Blab and check it out. Well, Blab's long gone. We've both moved on and stuck with it. And like I always tell people who have stuck with it, everybody who has really gotten better because they've had to learn how to build an audience and a community. Blab made it really easy, but by having to do that, the shows get better. And, you know, I think you're doing great stuff. And those of us who've stuck with it, it's really been a rewarding experience over the last 5 years.
Yep. And I mean, and what you're doing now, I mean, Livestream Universe, I mean, that was, you created that out of Blab, correct?
Yes, I did just when I found Blab. The next day, I was like, I'm starting something. I didn't even expect to go on camera. I was just wanted to like promote what people were doing and share their live streams out. And of course, once I got the bug, I went on a show or two as a guest and called in because you could just jump into an open seat Blab. I got a taste of it and I said, well, maybe I'll host the show. And once I hosted a show, then no longer was I like the media for live streaming. I was deep into live streaming myself. You know, I mean, I still try and cover what's going on in the industry on my shows to some extent, but obviously I'm a participant as much as I am an observer of what's going on.
And I mean, and we think about it. I mean, I think Blab, I think I hosted myself in the 1 year or something it was open, probably 60 or 70 different shows. You know what I mean? My own show. How many did you host on Blab? I'm just curious. God. Did you ever keep count? I never kept an accurate count. I'm saying around.
I'm thinking one a week from like late November till May or June. whenever I abandoned ship, like I could just see it wasn't stable anymore, wasn't sticking around. But I did one, at least I hosted one a week, some weeks more than one. Not usually more than two, but who knows, you know? And then I guessed it a lot. I mean, you just pop into watch a blab and somebody would say, anybody want to come on with me or whatever? You're like, yeah, bing, and here I go, you know? So, you were hosting constantly. I remember it's like Tim Gillette is on again. Yes.
and that was, I mean, part of it was, I mean, when I get on there, I wanted to experiment. And I'm a challenge type guy. Not that I challenge the world. I challenge myself. And I remember getting on Blab, and my first challenge to myself was, I'm going to be on 100 other people's shows in 30 days. And wow. Then I make up rules. So it's like, I can't just bombard your show. I can't just pitch. For me, it was like, I'm going to get on your show, but I'm going to wait to kind of be invited.
Right, right. So
like, and that got to be that, like, every time we went in, and you were the same way. If you show up in somebody's chat room, oh, Ross is in here. Ross, pop in a window. I mean, Tim, pop in a window. You know, it's we couldn't hide in the audience anymore.
No, and the post shows were sometimes better than the shows, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we would have the show, and it was like an excuse to gather at whatever time the show was. But then after the show, we'd turn off recording, and it was pretty much a closed environment. You weren't streaming out to social media or really going beyond the Blab community, which at that time, most of the world who wasn't on Blab didn't really know what it was.
Yeah,
so there were a lot of free-flowing discussions in which, you know, people talked everything from personal stuff about what's going on in their business to what's going on in your life to you. It's just great discussions, what you wanted to do going forward, what is going to happen with this new tool. You know, why is Blab treating us like garbage? You know, and then people moved on. I mean, I went on to a few different platforms before I finally said, you know what, I'm just going to go to Facebook Live. And once you do that, everything, the world opens up to you, and it's hard to go back into a closed platform after that. Yeah. But you also do lose some of that community and some of that feeling of like, I can say anything because it's just this community here. And it's not, which is, really, it's a misperception, right? Because anybody who doesn't like you could screen record something and throw it out to the world anyway. And it wasn't like I was doing any kind of blue content. I mean, my stuff was as clean as can be, but it's just people felt free to come in and ask questions when they knew the whole world, their family and friends maybe weren't judging them.
Now I remember some things, and all right, and I want to get into your, you know, I mean, your story since then, but I remember some things on Blab of certain people, not going to say names or anything, but there were certain people who, you know, like today, now in the COVID world, we're dressed from here up.
Right, right.
I mean, from here down, most of us have shorts on. And I remember a couple times where people like stood up and had nothing on. And I'm like, whoa. Now, for me, it was always, I would never get on Mia's broadcast, Mia Voss, which I know you know Mia as well. She would ask you on her Friday broadcast, okay, show us what's on bottom. You better have had pants on, because she was asking you to show. All right. And
yeah, I don't think I ever went on that one.
Yeah. No, I've seen a lot of them. And like, and most people, because they didn't get the concept that we really can see everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And they weren't educated, like, you know what I mean? Since then, I've educated myself. It's like, you have your studio set up. You know what people see on your screens. I know what people see behind me.
Right, right.
These people were doing it, and like, the door to their bathroom is right here with a mirror on. And like, dude, you can't do anything because it looks right into the camera, looks right into the dang mirror and shows us that you have no pants on, dude.
Right, right. I certainly didn't have an exciting background, but I knew that like whatever was in the frame had to at least not be inappropriate, right? Like, you want to clean up what's in the frame. What's to the right and left of the frame could be chaos. Yeah. And it's the same way, like, when you look at a TV studio, they've got all these things going on, and then the set itself is pristine, right? Yeah. But it's not like that couch is there, and then around it is a beautiful house. Around it is all these cameras and microphones and people working, and, you know, so it's kind of the same concept, whatever's in that frame. But yeah, people, I mean, you got to treat that. It's like I talk about my profile and like on Facebook, and I don't share anything that I couldn't share publicly. Yeah, I don't use privacy settings. Same thing when I'm doing video. I'm going to have pants on. Anything that could go wrong, I'm not going to embarrass myself or my family or my reputation.
I mean, that's part of the learning curve. I know we got John Preto's watching in the guest room, and John's done with like commercial type stuff.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean, if you've ever worked on a commercial set where you've gotten on camera, you know these things. You know that this may look cool back here, but I know what the backside out there looks like.
Right.
I know what the camera can see. It's like, I've learned all this stuff over the years.
Right, right, right.
And that's where now you, I guess you with Livestream Universe, is now telling people, you know, it's more than just turn the camera on and go.
Right, right. Well, I've had to learn the visual side of it along the way. I didn't start out knowing a lot about being on camera. And like I always say, to this day, I still am not as good as I'd like to be at looking at the camera. Mm-hmm. I will still look down at the monitor because I feel like I'm talking to Tim, and I can look down at Tim, because when I worked in radio, I didn't have to look at anything or anybody. Whatever just got that sound out was fine. So I've cut down on my gyrations a little bit. But I mean, I used to like laugh, and I'd go back when I started out. I was like, what is that thing? I didn't know I made all those movements and expressions and stuff. But over time you start realizing, and the level, the baseline starts rising, right? Like when we started, I was going live with my built-in webcam, you know, one lamp, one desk lamp, and, you know, nothing else, right? It was like I'm sitting in the dark. But the audio is where the content is for a large part. But now that everybody's has good webcams, and a lot of people are getting into mirrorless and DSLR cams and are building sets behind them, you have to step it up a little bit. And now it's like the average person has to use Zoom or some type of messaging meeting platform for work. So there's a lot of different people who never thought they would do this stuff, who are now, you know, what microphone should I buy? How can I set up a green screen so that people think that I'm in a nice office and not in my bedroom or whatever? How can I get a camera that'll, you know, work good in a low light environment or what? Like, what? You said you were never going to do any of that web stuff that I do. That podcasting with cameras thing that you're doing, right?
Well, I mean, you know, Ross, I've been doing live events since 2012, and I was like, nah, I want to do live events. Yeah, I do. I like doing these live streams, but I want to do live events. I want to be in the room.
Right.
Guess what? That's flipped now, because I couldn't do live events.
Right.
I had to do virtual events. And we learn as we go. All right. And like, I mean, just it's encouraging me to see the fact that you're going, well, Tim, I'm still having problems with the camera. All right. I myself do, because when I'm hosting a show, I same thing. I got to look down and make sure all my stuff's in line. I got to look around. Right. And I go back and look at the show later. It's like, oh my God, my eyes were moving. Oh my God. They think, you know, and I want to put sunglasses on so you can see what my eyes are moving.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I wanted to speak on stages and do live speaking, and I'm lucky that I've had a chance to do some over the last several years. But doing virtual events is a whole different skill set. Mm-hmm. And it's not live streaming in terms of like a talk show, like what we're doing, the kind of shows that you and I host, interview shows. It's a very different skill set to do a presentation, but be on video versus being in the room, the energy you have to bring. And I mean, I've been trying to do a lot of them and try and develop that skill set. I think I appreciate people like you and Joe Pardo who've given people an opportunity to develop that skill set by doing events. I don't know how you guys do it, but it's like every month or every other week you guys are hosting events. But I think it's been a great experience, and seeing the people who've been on multiple ones and seeing how they're developing as now being, you know, on camera presenters for a speaking, you know, conference type thing, which is also very different than the kind of presentation you'd give in a sales pitch or you'd give at a business meeting. There's so many different types of things you can do with this medium, and we've been forced to adopt several more of them, you know, now that we're all working from home and staying at home and really can't get together to do the type of events that we used to do.
So, I mean, you know, Ross, I mean, before COVID, were you just doing this from home, or did you have another business or another job, or what else do you do?
So I do this from home, but I also work from home on my other half, my better half, which is I have an HR consulting business with a partner, and we do a lot of different kind of stuff, but I focus a lot on getting the digital media aspect involved, digital recruiting, digital, you know, social recruiting, and all types of different online ways that people can ramp up with social media and improve their employee engagement, learning and development, all those different areas. You find that a lot of businesses have been slow to adapt. I also work a lot with individuals who maybe worked for a corporation most of their career, never took time to build up their personal brand, never took time to really even build out a LinkedIn profile. And now they're working on their own as a consultant, and they need to be found online. So that's part of how I developed that portfolio method that I spoke about, which is about quickly optimizing your social platforms before you start worrying about going out and getting likes and follows and all that. Get your social media up to date so that when somebody comes and Googles you because they said, hey, Tim is a great guy, you should work with him, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to go, yeah, maybe I will, but let me Google him first. Yeah. And what they find, whether it's your website, your YouTube channel, you know, your Twitter feed, whatever they find is going to be that first impression they have with you. It's either going to close that deal, or it's going to make them go, well, I don't know, you know, and that's why I think video is so powerful. What we're doing now, repurposed as a clip from it, let's say, it's a great way for people to get to know you, and they know you went live, so they know that you're reacting in real time. This isn't a scripted conversation. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things I love about live video that I think people don't think about as much, is how good it is for repurposing content in small bites that just has a certain energy that a lot of recorded content doesn't.
Yeah. Well, you know, and in that though, let me go down a certain road with this, Ross.
Sure.
That is so many people I find, and they come to my conferences, the Blog and Video Con and the Simple Easy events. And even when I was just doing blogging, they're like, hey, tell me how I can like hit the ground running. Tell me what is the one thing I can do to have my SEO ranked topped are right on my first post. And I'm like, dude, don't shoot for the top on the first one you do, because now everybody's going to see your mistakes. And I'd love your opinion on this. The same thing in live streaming. Dude, just get started and work getting better. Don't perfect it before you get out. And you know what I mean? You and I have seen people in the world, they try to perfect it. And they're like, dude, you realize, you know, you're still an amateur.
Right.
That's
right.
Why you don't try to build the, you just start doing the content. So no, what's no, your
when,
opinion
when
on
I'm it? Working with a client on the HR side, right? And they're talking about, oh, I want to start ranking and have you Googled yourself yet?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are the top three or four results that come up? Okay. Your Twitter comes up second. You know, you have no bio on your Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, you haven't tweeted in 2 years. You just spoke at an event last week. How about we tweet a photo from that and talk about what you spoke about? Now, you know, like, why don't we take the assets you already have in place? I'm not an SEO expert, but I can read what the results are above the fold on page one, because after page one, it really doesn't matter. Yeah. But it's what comes up on page one, which most likely is going to be your website about page, your LinkedIn profile. If you're active on Twitter at all, that's going to come up. You know, it's the same things that come up. So let's at least get the best we can on those right away, and then come up with a plan to continue feeding some good content on that over time. And, you know, most people who are consultants and they're coaches and they're working with small businesses, getting two clients a month off of, you know, people closing those off of closing those warm leads on social, that's huge. That makes a huge difference in their revenue for a quarter. So you've got to work with what you've got. I mean, the beautiful thing is that the internet gives us these sites, and while there's risk with them and everything else, that you kind of control. You control your Twitter feed. You control your LinkedIn profile. You control what goes on your website. Take advantage of that. You know, consistent messaging across those platforms means a lot. Take a photo, put it up there, do a short video. Click the image tab, click the video tabs when you do a Google search of yourself. And you have to do it in a private browser, because if you do it in your normal browser, it's going to give you the results based on what it thinks you want. So you're going to come up much more easily at the top when you do it on a browser you've been using. But go in and do a search in a private browser for your name. And if you have a common name, then you know, you can put quotes around it, or perhaps put one thing that you're known for. What would they, you know, let's say there were 1,000 people named Tim Gillette who came up or whatever. So I'd put Tim Gillette blog and video con or blog, and boom, then you'd probably come up towards the top of page one. I think you'd come up anyway, but just as an example, if your name was John Smith or something like that, you might need to add some keywords to it in order to get yourself to come up.
Well, you know, when your last name's Gillette, if you Google that, I'm just saying, all right.
There's a razor, isn't there?
There's certain things that are a little bit sharper on Google than I am.
Sharper. Yeah, very good.
You got a point there, Ross. And I put some notes down on this, man, about optimizing social. One of the things that I do when I speak at events is that my opening as a speaker is I walk out and I want to see who's got assets online. Right. And I make everybody stand and I find out who's got a social profile, who's got two social profiles, who's got three, 100 followers. I mean, I go right up the ranks to find out who in the room has the most influence.
Right.
And I do that for a reason. The very first thing is are you on two social platforms?
Right.
And you don't want to know, if I spoke to a room of 50 people and I say, if you're on two or more social platforms, stay standing. If you're not, sit down. You do not want to know how many people sit down. And wow. I'm speaking at entrepreneur events.
What is the platform they're all on? LinkedIn? Is that
I don't know. At first, but I'm like, at least if you're not on two and you're trying to build a business.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hello, this is your first problem.
If your business is successful, then maybe you don't need it, but then you're probably not coming to the presentation in the first place. If you're coming to the presentation, hey, how about opening up that account before you go and starting to familiarize yourself with a couple of platforms so that then the material makes more sense and you can ask questions that are more relevant instead of, you know, like, what is a retweet? Like, get on there, do it. You know, I keep mentioning Twitter, even as a lot of people have kind of abandoned the platform automating everything.
Twitter, I'm not as on as much as, and I'm just now starting to go back in and investigate with LinkedIn because I've had you share with me about how LinkedIn's getting better. Other social, live stream people are saying how
I'm on the other side of the curve on LinkedIn right now. LinkedIn right now is a rough neighborhood right now. They are really, I mean, I went to this meeting of a bunch, you know, virtual meeting with a bunch of people who are all, you know, using LinkedIn Live and talking about it. And everybody was saying, like, over the last several months, they, you know, consistently over the last 6 months, they've seen their views dropping to where, you know, I mean, I was getting like 2,500 to 3,000 people on my first several. And it's been a steady, you know, okay, I was getting in the thousands, in the thousands, in the thousands. Okay, in the high hundreds, the mid hundreds, all good. When I go live now and get 50 people, I'm like, hey, all right, at least it worked.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a huge drop off. So clearly they've decided that, you know, we don't want to share your stuff. We don't want to share most people on LinkedIn Live stuff with a big part of their network anymore because, you know, I have 20,000 followers on LinkedIn. And if I can't get 50 people to show up for a live video, that's telling me they're not sharing it with anybody. Because when I first went live, there were people I hadn't spoken to in 5 or 6 years who were like popping in, and I was reconnecting with people that I used to work with or that I went to school with. It was just amazing. But they have cut down on your reach. So I'm not as bullish on LinkedIn right now on LinkedIn Live, but that could all turn around tomorrow. I mean, maybe they're testing something. Maybe yeah. They're trying to revamp their algorithm. Maybe they're bringing a new technology in. Maybe they're, I don't know. I don't know what they might be working on, but it's worth, if you can get access to it, it's still worth playing around on the platform. And I don't mean playing around like goofing around, but you still have the potential to get yourself in front of business people, people with money to spend. It goes in your feed. It goes in your, you know, activity on your profile where people can click on your posts and they can see your videos. So I wouldn't say don't do it. I would just say don't put all your eggs in that basket.
Yeah. I was walked away from it for years because all I ever got from LinkedIn was spam people. But anyway.
Right.
And yeah, you know, but that's a different story. I mean, you know, then again, Twitter, I've got my issues with Twitter. You know, everybody's going to have issues with something, but you know, you've got to build a following. And I always say, you know, and Blab is where I learned this. Everywhere you go, build a following on that platform. You don't know if that platform is going to be gone tomorrow, but if you put all of your baskets in, I'm going to do everything to get my LinkedIn following. I'm going to do everything to get my Twitter following or my Facebook or it takes one thing that you do wrong that Facebook don't like you and you're gone. And if that was where you had all your eggs, your audience is gone, baby. So,
and that's the beauty of something like podcasting too. And also the fact that StreamYard records and you can download your recordings after a show. Own your own material. So when you make a podcast out of it, you're putting that up with your hosts. So Facebook can shut down. You're still distributing it to about 18,000 different podcast apps. The ones you registered and then all the ones that pop up and grab it from Apple Podcasts or iTunes or whatever. But so that's the thing. You know, own your content. Download all your content. Download your videos after you do them. Store them all on a hard drive somewhere. Know that you can always rebuild that content library. Of course, embed stuff on your website, but always know that that platform that you're streaming to might change the way it operates, might decide to take away a service, might shut down, might make it pay to play. There's so many different. I think we all, you know, like Terry just said, Blab alumni. I think we all learned the lesson on Blab that you know, I certainly built my first live streaming brand, so to speak, around Blab. Yeah. It wasn't I was doing a show at X time and day. I was doing a show on Blab. This is a Blab show. Yeah. Come see it on Blab. Like, I hit home Blab so much that, you know, I then had to figure out what am I doing. So don't do what we did on Blab. I think a lot of us did that, right? We went all in on Blab, assumed it was going to be around forever during those 6 weeks when it actually was stable and working, and
it was a huge wake-up call the day you went on Blab and realized, crap, we're gone.
Right. Or it just, I mean, there was definitely a long decline where it wasn't,
you kind
wasn't
of
working.
I knew it was going 3 months before.
The homepage started becoming so messy, so ugly. And
Yeah. So Ross, I mean, you work, you got an HR consulting. All right. You're doing live streaming. All right. Has this been like your whole world? What is your roots and where did you get started in this world? You know?
Sure. So I started working for newspapers as a writer out of college. And then, I had the last newspaper I worked at, I had a boss that would always be yelling at me because I was talking to people too much. And she didn't like that for whatever reason. Apparently, she wasn't too familiar with how life in a newsroom is. But whatever. So I decided that I would maybe go into radio where I could just talk to people all day and didn't have to worry about going out and writing long articles. And so I tried my hand at radio. And there was a day I was doing behind-the-scenes production. And they called me at home because they needed somebody to go out and cover the governor being indicted. And I said, this was in Phoenix, Arizona at the time. And I said to myself, you know what? You're hardly making any money. You have to work all day Sunday producing all these, you know, weekend talk show hosts who are bleep, bleep, bleeps. And I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to be really bold here. Okay, I'll go out and cover it for you. But you have to use me on the air to voice the story. And because they were desperate enough, they said yes. And from that, I then was also doing my own show on a small station that had like four listeners. But I was I got the confidence from that and I was taking clips and I sent them out and I got hired. And I went to Virginia for a year and I worked in a small market station. And a year later, I came back to Arizona and I was working at the biggest group of radio stations in Phoenix. And it was a very, very exciting time. I was covering the NBA back when Michael Jordan was in his last season and Larry Bird was coaching and, you know, seeing all these greats that I had, watched growing up. And it was really cool experience. And then I continued doing it in other markets after that. But after about 12 years, I said, okay, I want to, like, the furthest thing from media, right? So I'm like, I'm going to go into human resources. It'd be a nice, stable job, 9 to 5, clean office. But I also felt that, you know, being on a more serious side, I did feel there was a need for communication and media skills within where HR was going at that time. So I got a master's in HR. And during the time that I was getting the master's, I started doing social media because I was the head of an HR organization at that time that needed to grow its membership and needed to get people to show up for events. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to learn social media. I didn't even have a LinkedIn profile. So I started LinkedIn. Then I got on Twitter. I did Facebook last. I was always saying I'm never going to do Facebook, but finally kicking and screaming, I did Facebook. Started using Facebook event pages. And we went from like getting two people to show up to a happy hour to getting like 200 people to show up on a Friday night for an academic discussion. I was like, yes, yes, this does work. So I was doing social media pretty heavily and my HR work started going that way. Again, I was relatively new in the industry in a lot of ways. And it was amazing to me because I'd be doing this humdrum work. And then all of a sudden somebody would call me into an office and be like, oh, you know, I want you to meet with the senior vice president and CEO because they need help with how they can develop a LinkedIn recruiting strategy. Like, well, that's sure a lot more interesting than checking references. Let's do that. So from there, I started consulting and I started, HR Avant-Garde, which I have with a colleague. And about a year after that or a year and a half after that, stumbled into Blab and my life hasn't been the same since. I fell in love with broadcasting again. And so this has become, you know, not just a passion, but it's become a business as well. And I devote as much time as I can to it. I work, you know, with different companies and clients and I just love it. I love it more than I did the first time around in my 20s and 30s doing radio. I mean, this is like, it's like a second love. It's something that I really cared about, but kind of grew out of, after a while, the moving around and the hours and the craziness, you know, now being able to do it in an entrepreneurial way, combine my education with what I'm doing, talk about business and help people. I couldn't be happier with, you know, having stumbled into Blab, not knowing what it was, but knowing people were going to be talking about something. I thought it was going to be like a texting thing or, you know, like a Twitter chat on steroids. And, I fell into what was, I thought was like talk radio heaven, but with webcams. And, you know, so here we are.
Well, I mean, you were in Arizona. Do you know Dave Pratt?
Dave Pratt. That sounds really familiar.
He now has, it's Star Worldwide Radio, but it was internet radio. But he was on like traditional radios.
Rock radio? Rock radio? He did rock radio mornings, no?
I think he did, yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking 93 something, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I forget the stations now. I've been away from there.
In radio world, he's a big guy, but he's also, I mean, he had a couple partnership deals with like Alice Cooper and stuff out there. I was on his network when we were doing Blab in Phoenix area. So, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And it's just when you said Phoenix, I'm like, there's somebody in the radio world.
Right.
But, well, I mean, you know, since the Blab days, all right, you know, I mean, we talked quite a bit of tools and stuff that we've done. Mm-hmm. Are people coming to you now to learn the tools, or are they coming now to you to learn the skill set?
A lot of times they start with the tools and they start with how they can grow. And I have this tendency to look at it from big picture. So they'll ask me what they think they need and I'll tell them what they need. No, but I try and look at it holistically, like, what are your goals? What do you want out of this? How can we get you? How can we get you there? And I do think that one of the things that I have trouble with online stuff, and there's a lot of people who are doing good things, but it becomes so much about the gimmicks and the algorithm and the superficial. And, you know, all that's fine when you get to a certain level. Then, yes, you're focusing on your thumbnail or how you're working the algorithm or, you know, what time do you post and all these things. But before that, you have to get good at it. Yeah. And you get good at it by doing it, but also by learning there are techniques for how to handle situations. And a lot of this stuff is now instinctive to me. But I can quickly watch what somebody's doing and pick out, okay, these are things you can do differently to make sure that that doesn't happen anymore. Or also, how do you align your business content or your content that you're doing for a show? How do you make that interesting as a show, but still have a line of sight back to your business? How can you align something that draws an audience in, even if they're not ready to buy that day? They're not coming for the widget, right? But they're coming for what you offer, the value you provide, the entertainment, and they get to know that you also have widgets. So when they need a widget, they reach out to you. And that's a challenge for people in some businesses, but a lot of it is just developing your confidence and developing certain skills that hosts have that they can rely on, right? And developing your personality on camera. Some people are really, like, you meet them in person, they're so gregarious, and then they go on video and everything is very, very quiet and contained, and I don't want to make a mistake, and I think I should speak really soft and slow. I'm the opposite. When I got in, I was super shy when I got into radio, and I used to have people. Now, I'm working in the biggest group of radio stations in Phoenix, KTAR. We got all the NBA, Major League Baseball, all this stuff. I'm working in the Suns locker room. I'm doing sports updates on the sports station 6, 8, 10, 12 times a day. And there'd always be somebody in this huge newsroom, right? There'd always be somebody like, what do you do around here? I see you all the time. I was so quiet, I didn't talk to anybody. I even turned down the monitor on my desk whenever I went on air because I didn't want the people sitting near me to listen. That's how shy I was. But when I got on air, it just, like, all this energy came out. And so, like, people would be, oh, that's you? I never would have expected. You're so quiet. You know, obviously, you know, I've become more outgoing. I've become more, a little bit more so, you know, a lot more social probably in real life, whatever. But in other words, that's the mix you want. You want to be quieter, a little bit quieter off camera, but you got to be yourself, but you got to turn that dial, turn it to 11. 10 isn't good enough. If 10 is every day, right? But at the same time, you want to do it without shouting, without screaming, without, you have to still leave yourself. So you can show energy without being out of control, without, you know, there are a lot of people do these shouting stuff, you know, get it today. The deal goes now. You know, it's nobody wants that anymore. Nobody, people are tired of it. They've heard all the pitches. They want something of value, and then they will come back to you for what you have once you've shown them that you can provide that value and it's something that they need.
So, I mean, and it reminds me, I mean, coming about your building your personality online, and it's to me, it's always harder to teach people how to build their personality. I tell them it's something you've got to develop into in our coaching program. And I really, I'm speaking 10 years and I'm in this business because I knew Zig personally, and I'm not what you think about when you think Zig Ziglar. I was the farthest thing from it, but I had to find that voice.
Tom Petty, maybe, but not. I love the link. It's so funny. I mean, you have to do this. I mean, I wasn't any good the first couple times I went on air. I was horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, you just don't wake up and be great at it. But the potential was there, and then I came back again, and okay, I figured out. You know, coming with all this stuff planned in your head and written down isn't going to help me do a better show. I'm better off the cuff. Okay, I'm going to do this unscripted. I'm going to have topics and themes in mind and know why I want to talk to somebody or why I want to talk about a subject, but I'm not going to bullet point it to the last detail because I know that if you have too much detail, you lose the conversation. You lose the ability for the average person to get moved by what you're saying and then want to think about and maybe call in or maybe, you know, come back and listen the next time you talk about it. So all these things, you know, and other people are great at writing things out. They're hosts that sit there with a pile of notes like this, and it's like story number one, but, you know, they interject some humor or they have a way of doing it or their voice is just so charismatic or whatever, that for whatever reason, it works for them. So different people work differently. There's no right or wrong. And that's the other thing. Too many people are always saying, like, this is the way you do a show. Well, that's the way you do a show, right? But I don't think the way I do a show is the way you necessarily need to do a show. I'm doing what works for me.
Yeah.
And when I was, you know, in radio, sports was the third thing I wanted to do. I wanted to do music and learn within 5 minutes that my personality and sound wasn't going to cut it at that. I wanted to do news then after that and talk about, you know, controversial topics and stuff, but something inside of me thought better of it, and I didn't think I had that sort of neutral, boring news tone where you just never, I mean, now today, newscasters much more telegraph what they think about stories, but back 20, 30 years ago, people played it a little closer to the vest.
Yeah.
And then I had a guest on and started talking sports with him. And I realized, okay, my delivery, my energy, the way I approach things, the way I talk about sports, you know, part of it is who you are and matching it up with content that works for you. So my first choice wasn't to be a sportscaster at that time, but I did it because, yes, I was knowledgeable. Yes, I was passionate, but it also was the right fit for the way I speak, where I came from, what I know, and how I can deliver that to an audience that wants to hear certain sounds on sports. There are people that can run rings around me based on what they know about sports or how they could play sports, but their voice doesn't say sports. It says, you know, it's a night at the opera. And so that doesn't work for sports casting.
Never thought about
so
that.
So you not only, there's so many things. So when people say, this is the way you write your script, this is the way you host the show, these are the topics you need to cover. No, those are the topics that worked for you. Those are the topics that work for somebody with these characteristics. Mm-hmm, and like I say, 99% of the people who are giving advice and selling courses online and stuff do not think that there's more than one way to do things, and do not think that what might not be working for somebody is they haven't found their topic, their subject matter, their style of show for their voice.
Yeah.
And for their personality that also has an overlap with something that they're interested in and knowledgeable about. So, you know, that's why I could hit the ground running, even though I was sitting in the dark with, you know, a crappy webcam when I started out. I had the experience of being pretty, I mean, I was nervous when I went on, but I was also underneath, like, I know how to host the show. And so it takes time and it takes doing it and doing it and doing it, and you'll find it. But, you know, you can find it pretty quickly, but you have to sort of drop all this noise that people are telling you, you need to be on this platform. You need to find out what it is you like doing and what you're suited to do, and how that can align with your business if you're doing it to promote your business. And then we can get into tactics, and then we can get into long-term strategies and things like that. But you have to get good first. And, yeah, you know, you see the people who are doing it and committing to it, particularly post-Blab, where they've had to build an audience. And you see over time, people are getting better. The people who thought they weren't going to be any good at it.
Well,
three months in, they're terrific.
Yeah. There's the biggest key that I think that most people who were doing shows on Blab versus the ones who are doing shows now is learning to build an audience.
Right.
You know, it's one thing to plug into me. When I was on the radio station, easy. They marketed to get the audience. I just bought a time slot. Right. Now I've got to fill my own time slot. Was it worth paying $1,800 a month to have the audience versus building my own? I'll take building my own all day long because I'm able to convert my own.
Right, because they're showing up for you. They're not showing up for the station.
Yes.
And you happen to be filling the spot in between two other shows, which they may or may not be interested in, but they've got the radio on.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's the thing. The audience you build, that's your audience. They're there for you. That's the other thing. When people get so hung up on what guests we can have and what you know, segments, understand first and foremost, they're showing up for the Tim Gillette show for Tim Gillette. Mm-hmm. And even if it was called the blog and video show, they're showing up for Tim Gillette, number one, number two, number three. If they're coming for me only, they might not be coming back for the next show.
They might, but they may not.
But the fallacy that people have is if I get a guest with a million followers on Twitter or whatever, that is going to give me an audience. No, those people may show up for that person, but you still have to convert them, win them over, you know, and it's not that easy. People are, you know, it just takes time, and you're better off just showing up yourself and having people that you enjoy talking to and having good conversations and doing a good show and growing your own audience. I'm not saying I'm turning down somebody with a million social followers. Come on, let's do a show. Let's talk about something. But I also have no illusions that does anything long term in terms of, you know, growth or development or, you know, even monetization, because what happens, it's a moment in time, and it's a fun moment, and it's kind of thrilling. But most of those people also aren't very invested in sharing you with their community. Yeah. They want to come on. So somebody with a million followers wants to come on my show if they think I can help them sell a book or sell a course or a product. They're not necessarily thinking, okay, I've got to share Ross with my audience, or I've got to bring my audience over to Ross's show. What do I care? I can sell to my audience in my Facebook group, on my email list. I'm going to come on and sell to his audience. And that changed, you know, learning that kind of early on changed how I look and value guests. Like, is your product interesting? Are we going to have a good conversation? Do you know what you're talking about? Do I even need a guest today? All those things, you know, are probably more important considerations than what somebody's social following. Yeah. Now, having said all that, Tim, when somebody comes with 10 million followers or, you know, Joe Rogan wants to be on your show or whatever, even if you don't like the guy, you say yes.
I can say that, you know what I mean? Many people don't like either one of our current or former president. All right. And right. But you know what? If either one reached out to me, I would have them on my show. Just saying.
Right. And if either one, I'm not going to say, you know, I might like both. I might like none.
Either one came on.
Either one came on, I would be super polite and respectful and welcoming. And I would ask them both tough questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you wouldn't necessarily know which one I liked or didn't like, or maybe I don't like either, or maybe I like them both, whatever it might be. But you would never come away knowing that.
Because I want to make it an interesting interview. And the biggest thing I've done with my show over the years is, you know, is as I try to make this show about you. So you know what? If you come here with a million followers, you enjoyed your hour with me. And I've had people, you know, big names on my show who walked away going, that was a pretty fun show. I like doing that. And I've had some come back a second time. And I'm like, I'm honored they want to come back. But I don't expect their following to jump on my bandwagon.
Right. And there's great value in the relationships you build, even if it doesn't translate to more followers or anything else. It's great to build a relationship with good people and interesting people and people doing good things. So you build those relationships through who you have on as your guest and whose show you go on. And even when you watch a show and you know, you participate in the chat and you share that show to your audience, you're building a relationship with hosts. You don't always have to be the host or the guest to participate in a live stream or a conference or a virtual event. You can learn a lot and you can also become part of the community. And, you know, a lot of times you all end up doing a show or end up getting invited on when you're an active member of the community.
Speaking of community, let's say hi to a couple of people who actually stopped in today. Let's go back to our comments here. My friend Megan from My World. Thanks, Megan. Joe Pardo, we both know Joe.
The great Joe Pardo.
Yeah, the great Joe Pardo. Of course, John Preto.
Come on down.
Larry Roberts.
Oh, yeah, you know, Larry.
I had lunch with Larry on Tuesday. Great guy here. Troy McDonald. I haven't seen his face in long time. Brent's been making an awful lot of comments. I think Brent's still here. Terry Johnson's been here. Carlos was in the room. See who else was in there.
Hey, Carlos.
Oh, wait a minute. Here's one here. It's kind of disguised, but Beauty. I caught there, Beauty. But yeah. Oh, wait a minute. And here we got Chip Edwards in the room. There's some good people speaking of our community, and they know us both. So it's like, right.
I mean, just thinking of somebody in the chat, like, I don't know if he's still here. Brent Basham is somebody who doesn't know how good he is.
Yeah.
He's phenomenal. Phenomenal, yep. The way he speaks, the way he expresses himself, tells stories, talks about his product. He doesn't even know how good he has no idea how good he is.
I dare you, Brent, to apply and come on the show. Timgillette.com/podcast interview. Just saying, Brent.
Oh, he's also got an awesome product, too. So that doesn't hurt either. But he's got a lot of talent. Chip is good too.
Chip too. Yeah,
I had Chip on my podcast. Chip, he was fantastic.
Yeah, Chip. I know Chip. I've got to get you on the podcast as well. So yeah, great guy. Chip's also in my events. He's in my events community. So yeah. Yes.
Everybody else here, I'm pretty certain knows how good they are. Larry, Brent, and Joe, and Terry.
You, Brent. That's why
Carlos
I gave you
Phoenix, Kevin Black. All these folks know that they've been doing it a long time and doing it well.
Yeah. Well, Ross, I mean, I appreciate you coming on the show. What's the website? I know you got a show that you do, and the website where they find you and find out more about you.
Sure. So livestreamuniverse.com is my website. I do something called $5 Fridays every Friday, 1 p.m. Eastern. It is, believe it or not, just $5. I call it micro consulting. You come in, and as many questions as the people who join can ask during that time, we do a private Zoom just for the people who attend, and I help you with whatever it is you have questions with that we can do in an hour. So I think it's one of the better deals. Try it out. If you're watching today and you want to come for free to the first one on Friday, just sign up for my email list and I will send you a free pass. You can do that at livestreamuniverse.com/Friday, livestreamuniverse.com/Friday.
So, well, I appreciate you coming on, Ross. But of course, before we wrap up, I've got a little list here of this or that questions. Now, I mean, you've seen the show, Ross. You
Obama or Trump? No, I'm kidding.
Huh?
Obama or Trump? No.
I have not put that on my and I won't put Biden or Trump on my
No, you'll get no comment.
I'm not putting that on my this or that. Sorry.
I made a pledge when I joined social media at the beginning of 2013. I wasn't going to do politics on social media, and I have stayed faithful to that.
I'm staying away from it. I have my opinions, and I honor yours. That's my opinion.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I've got a couple ones here, Ross, and then you pick which one matters, and hopefully I've got one that you have an opinion on.
Okay.
Start off with, I'd like to find out who the science geeks are, and that is Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
The first round, not that second round.
First one when I was really young and loved it, and so I've never really been into Star Trek, and I'm not a huge science geek kind of movie viewer anyway, but Star Wars would definitely be closer to my heart.
Yeah. How about beach or mountains?
Beach.
Beach?
You don't have to do all that climbing. Plus, there's water.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Place to go swimming. My next one, we move into some food categories, and the next one would be tacos or hamburgers.
Ooh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. I'm going to go with tacos. It can't beat tacos.
I know. It's tough, but that's why I have them, this or that.
So it's a very tough one to choose.
My next one here is, if you're going to the movies, do you get popcorn or candy?
Popcorn.
Salt and butter?
No.
No? Okay.
A salt, maybe.
All right.
If it's like real salt, not that fake stuff that they put on.
I can't stand that fake stuff.
I just get it plain and have it dry.
So I want to move on to one of the most controversial questions in music. Okay. And apparently it's been used as clickbait this week.
Uh-oh.
And that is Van Halen, David Lee Roth, or Sammy Hagar.
That's a good one. This is where I'm going to lose like half my list.
They were both good. When you have an opinion as to which one you like better, but they were both good.
I mean, I David Lee Roth was some kind of character.
He was. But they had some more of the hits
songs. Some of the songs were better. Probably they matured as a band during the Sammy Hagar years. They became more musical and a little more disciplined. But I don't know. I could go either way. If you put a gun to my head, I would probably go with David Lee Roth.
But like this, that was the clickbait this week all over Facebook was Wolfgang Van Halen gives his opinion, Sammy or Dave. And I'm like, you click the article and basically it says they were both good.
Right. Right.
It's the biggest clickbait in history. That is like, oh, anyway.
This is fun. You got more of these or we?
I've got two more here. And the next one goes to the toilet paper. Does it go over or under on the roll?
I say under.
Okay. I had Cammie Baker on here from New Hampshire, and Cammie was like, I'm single. And if I go to a guy's house after the third time of turning that toilet paper over, I break up with him. This relationship's going nowhere.
Well, it's good to know too high maintenance right from this.
Well, no, I've had some of the calmest
I think putting it flat on its side is plenty fine.
Oh no, I'm going to take
turn
a picture
the roll
of it
this way and just put it
setting down on top of the empty roll. That's where I'm going to take a picture.
It doesn't matter.
All right.
As long as it's there when you need it.
Yep. My last one is boxers or briefs.
I say briefs.
Okay. That's all I got on this one here, ladies and gentlemen.
This was good. This was a lot of fun. This is a great part of the show.
I love doing this end part because it gets a little personal. Ends on a high note, ends on a funny note. All right. But you know what I mean? Seriously, one more time, tell them your website sure. So they can see it and hear it on the audio as well.
Sure. Livestreamuniverse.com is the website, livestreamuniverse.com. And find me if you'd like to try out $5 Friday, sign up at livestreamuniverse.com/Friday, livestreamuniverse.com/Friday. And I will send you a free pass when you sign up on the email list.
Cool. So, Ross Brand, I thank you personally for coming on my show today, sharing with my audience some of your wisdom and knowledge and history.
Tim, thanks so much for having me. I know it's been a long time coming. It's our first time actually doing a regular show and not a conference or an event. But I had a blast. We got into some good stuff about live streaming and, of course, so much fun doing the this or that question at the end. I was looking forward to it.
Cool. So, hey, to you guys, our audience, thank you guys for listening in. Be sure to go over and subscribe at Apple Podcasts. TimGilletteShow.com will take you there. And go check out our events at SimpleEasyEvents.com. I'm Tim Gillette with The Tim Gillette Show, and I'll see you next time with another great guest. Have a great day, guys. Bye.